This episode is brought to you by Coca-Cola. New Coca-Cola Spiced. It's not spicy, but it does have unexpected, extraordinary tastes. For some people, it's like...
like falling on a meteor, fighting a bear just to land safely on the ocean on your own private island with a new best friend.
It's like when you're in that hotel in Las Vegas and the gondola singer is rowing you around the canals, and for that beautiful moment, you forget you're not actually in Venice.
It's like running into a hurricane, but then you find yourself in the eye of the storm, and you're actually like a really pretty field, and like the wind is lightly blowing, and there's like leaves and the smell of fall.
Or it's like... but, you know, I had something and it wasn't that, and you really threw me off my groove.
It's like hearing your friend come up with his own idea, but then realizing that your idea is so much better, you have to say it right now!
Coca-Cola Spiced, it's bursting with refreshing notes from raspberry and spice flavors. It's an uplifting taste experience unlike any other. Try all new Coca-Cola Spiced and Coca-Cola Spice Zero Sugar today and find out. Copyright 2024, The Coca-Cola Company.
This episode is brought to you by Mint Mobile. No more overpriced phone plans necessary. Big monthly bills, unexpected overages, expensive, and outdated.
Or you could stay outdated. Vintage is in.
My old phone has the perfect patina of Cheetos dust and teenage stank.
Okay, I have a better option. Mint Mobile, for a limited time, they have wireless plans that include unlimited talk, text, and data for just $15 a month. Upgrade your plan today at Mint Mobile. For limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer, go to mintmobile.com/distractible. That's mintmobile.com/distractible. mintmobile.com/distractible.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride.
Do you guys ever work on your cars?
If I had one!
It's very satisfying. If you had a cool car, like mine, you could use eBay Motors.
Do you think that I could get the individual parts and then assemble my own car?
Yeah, they do have over 122 million parts. Plus, with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they're guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time.
Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. That's ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Good evening, gentle listener, and welcome to Distractable, a Wood Elf production with your hosts, Warlike Wade, Malefic Mark, and Barbaric Bob. This week, the rebel raconteurs pull back the curtain on the hidden horrors in your own homes. Yes, it's time for Humanity is Bad. Please prepare for the augmentation of thy free-floating guilt and enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome once again to Distractable. I will be your host for today. My name is Bob, and as always, I am joined by my co-hosts. By my competitors, who I will be lording over, Mark and Wade.
Hello.
What's up, y'all?
Oh, not much. I'm good.
You there, Wade? Okay, good.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't know by now, it doesn't really matter, but I'll tell you how this works. This is a podcast where we talk about anything we want. The host is technically in charge of what we talk about, and for some reason, there's points. To this day, I have not figured out what the system for the points is. It's arbitrary. It's meaningless. What's that thing Drew Carey always said? Show where the points are made up, and nope.
The show don't matter.
Everything's made up, and the points don't matter.
Oh. Yeah, that's the one.
That's this. We are the Whose Lines in Any Way of podcasts, except it's not necessarily funny. But maybe it's funny.
It's better.
God, you're really selling this podcast here.
Hey, they're already listening. What do we usually do next? Small talk.
Right, small talk.
Look at the script here.
I don't know what it's like to be a human, so I'm trying to make sure I include all of the requisite parts of this, but... I live in my office. I play video games most of the time. I'm an adult. What do you guys do with your time? Video games?
I make videos, trying to learn Korean, doing all kinds of self-improvement stuff, generally being...
Chewing your food?
Yeah, I have been chewing my food. It has fundamentally changed my life, and I am more depressed the more I think about it.
Damn. I have a bombshell of a topic that you're about to have to scramble to make conversation about. The topics that I bring are never that good.
I hope it's eggs.
What?
You said scramble, and I'm really talking about eggs. I'm hungry.
It's like lunchtime. It's like the afternoon for you, bro. Eggs are breakfast or dinner. There's no such thing as breakfast for lunch. That's not a thing.
But brunch?
That's breakfast and lunch, not breakfast for lunch.
Go on.
I don't even... Fine, you can have breakfast for lunch.
Yes!
Freaking weirdo. Okay, today's topic. Are you ready? I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
It's a real ripper. I hate humanity.
Whoa.
All right.
People are bad.
Uh-huh.
People are selfish. People are rude, cruel to each other.
Oh, wow.
I don't like it. And my challenge to you is to change my mind.
Oh, God. Okay. What if I agree with you?
Yeah, what if we agree?
Would you like the inspiration for this? Maybe that will make it a little more clear. We've all seen on social media, on Reddit, there are entire subreddits of this, on TikTok, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and wherever you might look, if you scroll long enough, you'll come across a video. I'll play one out for you because I feel like a lot of people have seen this. There's a very fancy car parked next to the curb, and there's an older person standing next to the car looking kind of tired. It's nighttime. It's the end of a long day. This older person looks like they're exhausted, run down. It's been a hard day. They're sweeping up the trash, presumably in front of their store or their place where they work or whatever, right? Trying to finish and go home. Get some rest. And as they're standing here, you know, sweeping up things, trying to finish the day's work, the nice car, the window rolls down and a plastic bottle flies out and the person sweeps it up. And then a napkin flies out. Person sweeps it up. Eventually, some other way too muscular, wealthy looking dude emerges in the back of the frame, sees what's happening, walks up to the car, takes the thing of trash that the person has been sweeping off the sidewalk, dumps it in the window of the fancy car. The guy in the fancy car is outraged, tries to get out. The big buff rescue man slams the door back shut, points at him.
Yeah.
Fade to black. Text reads, "There is some good in humanity." I don't believe it. I've seen that video too many times. Clearly staged, clearly fake.
Uh-huh.
I challenge you to scour either your own minds or the internet itself to convince me that people aren't terrible, selfish, unsalvageable nightmares that are just bad all around for each other and for the environment and everything.
Okay,
That's my challenge.
I am going to take it a step further, and then I'm going to go even a step further beyond that because I'm already going to assume that humanity has no hope and we are removed from the equation. What is the next animal to evolve into a bipedal big-brained creature that deserves to take over the earth?
Horny toad.
Yeah, but
he just had that ready to go.
Horny toad?
Yeah.
What do you think horny means in this context?
Yeah, I was about to ask that.
Covered in horns?
Okay,
spiky protrusions?
All right.
Likes to fuck?
Ah, there it is.
There it is. It's like a dictionary definition of horny toad. Covered in horns, spiky protrusions, likes to fuck. That probably isn't there.
You know, there's like italics and bold. There's a special font that exists in the dictionary that you have to read it in that voice.
Uh-huh.
Covered in horns, you know, pointy extrusions, likes to fuck.
Yeah.
It's like underlined italics bold. That's how you have to read that.
The first person that found the horny toad, he was writing down, "And doth I found this strange frog, had horns, loved to fuck. Incredible creature. Will procure a sample."
I like to think that it was the same thing, but he actually changed his complete demeanor. He was covered in horns, seems to be quick on the move, eats its prey with its tongue, likes to fuck. What happened to me? Wasn't prepared for that.
This is all in the book, of course, you know, written down a little. Likes to fuck.
Seemed to have been possessed by a demon.
What the hell came over me?
This is somehow 100% conveyed through text only.
It seems to have some kind of psychedelic excretion from the surface of his skin. Loves the peen.
Goes from using his index finger and his thumb holding the pencil, just like holding it in his whole hand and just writing.
It becomes crayon somehow.
Likes to fuck.
Likes to fuck.
Sure.
Anyway, sure. I was going to go a different direction than that because I actually was having a conversation with Amy kind of about this where we were talking about how like humans are kind of messed up in that we have an upper limit of how big our brain can be because of how big vaginas are in general.
Mm-hmm.
And this is connected. This is connected. This is connected, Wade. This is connected. Trust me. Talking to you, Wade. This is connected. Trust
you me. You had me at vaginas.
All right, cool. Because you can only birth a baby of such size head before it just doesn't work or kills the baby or kills you. You know what I mean?
You were born.
I was born and I was, got him. Oh, I was, you have a good point. I was at the upper limit. No, I was just back in Cincinnati and my mom, every time I come back home, tells me the story of how I was born. No, I'm not joking.
He pulls her pants down and is like, you see this? Let's get in here. Compare this.
Look at this photo, Mark. Look what you did to me.
No. But this time I got a very detailed explanation of how I, a 10-pound, 3-ounce baby, almost killed her with the size of my head. And there's an upper limit. But I was also talking about this, you know, kind of kangaroos got the right idea. I don't know if it's all marsupials in general, but kangaroos got the right idea. Because when they have a baby, and kangaroos are scary and muscular and weirdly already bipedal.
Oh yeah, we saw them up close and personal.
Yeah, but they have a pouch, right? So they don't give birth to a big old baby. They give quote unquote birth to a small baby that crawls into the pouch and then continues to grow from there. Whereas the head size, are you getting me? Doesn't really have the same upper limit. It's like you can raise a baby and like when you think about it, the whole pouch system, like it's always with the mother. It frees up the mother's hands. You know, what if humanity dies out and then another few million years kangaroos take over the world, and then suddenly there's an even bigger upper limit to what the brain could be because there's no risk of babies dying. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna take what you got a step further.
Okay, even further, go.
What if we intentionally start having babies at like 6 months, and then we just have like a surrogate kangaroo and we put the baby in there for 3 more months and then we take it back out and raise it.
Okay, yeah, it's nature's incubation chamber.
That sounds like a solution for people with means. I just imagine a neighborhood of high society types. You just see
how
a bunch of
how much could a kangaroo cost? How much could a kangaroo possibly cost?
Google, how much is kangaroo?
Okay, yes.
$2,000. Females go for $3,000.
It costs more to just have a baby in general these days. You can save all that money at the hospital with the prenatal whatnot.
Get rid of your car. Get rid of your ride car. The kangaroo.
There are other questions. What do kangaroos eat?
We've hand-fed them. They eat those weird seed ball things they give you at the desk.
Grass leaves. Okay, well, we got a lot of grass and leaves.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Okay, I'll give that to you.
We Americans were obsessed with, like, grass.
So you just can't live in California where there's fires. You gotta live in a place with some greenery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many kangaroo murders per year?
Less than people murders, and we live with those next door.
Oh, well, that's not what I was looking for. Over the past 20 years, 90 million kangaroos and wallabies have been lawfully killed for commercial purposes.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, that's not what I was just trying to Google.
That's a lot of babies that we could have had.
That's another point to the whole humans being terrible
thing. Oh, yeah, no, you guys are really driving it down. Just be rescuing my opinion of humanity.
No, well, I mean,
there's no reason to.
We kind of jump ship from there, yeah.
We don't want to lie to you, Bob.
Okay.
No, only 18 deaths from kangaroo, at least in 2015. 18. That's not a lot.
No, my neighbors killed more than that in the last week.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's excluding the idea that we're handing easily damageable human babies over to these kangaroos. That creates a lot of opportunity for mishaps and murders.
But you know how, like, you can get probably a good kangaroo cosplay on Etsy? Just dress up the baby, the fetus, whatever, in a kangaroo cosplay, put it in the pouch. Kangaroo treat it like its own.
Okay. Let's say I accept the kangaroo premise.
Okay.
Is kangaroo society better than human society?
I mean,
are they better to the earth? Are they better to each other? What does this look like?
The ecological impact of kangaroos. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm willing to guess our coal power plant is a little more damaging than kangaroo society. I have heard that kangaroos are assholes, but also humans are assholes. So what are we really comparing them to? If we compare them based on if they are to elevate to a human level, then I'd say kangaroos are nowhere near the assholes that humans are. You know what I mean? I wonder if marsupials in general, because it's not just kangaroos that have pouches. Is it the definition of marsupials that they have?
That's the thing about marsupials, isn't it?
They have pouches, that kind of idea.
What's another marsupial than a kangaroo?
What are those things called? Koalas are marsupials, aren't they?
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Aren't they?
Yeah, 100%. Maybe.
I don't know. We had to leave before we get to see the koalas when we were in Australia.
Possums are apparently marsupials.
Interesting.
Bandicoots are marsupials. I thought that was a video game character.
Crash is a protagonist. See?
The Tasmanian devil is a marsupial.
Ooh.
He spits a lot. Love it.
Dude, this is a cool group of animals.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
They got some cool guys in there.
Marsupials should rule the world.
That's pretty cool. That's not bad.
I tried to look up what a group of kangaroos is called, and I put like a kangaroo pack, and it turns out all I got was a picture of a can of kangaroo meat.
Mm-hmm.
A group of kangaroos is called a fuck of kangaroos.
Oh, I saw a mob, a herd, or a troop, but a fuck works.
Kangaroos love to fuck. I still call them a fuck of kangaroos. Someone just said, like, holy shit, that's a fuck ton of kangaroos, and someone was like, ah, I see.
The kangaroo.
as a pouch raises its child.
Reginald, what shall we call it when a group of kangaroos approach all as one? That's a flock of kangaroos.
Fuck ton.
That's a flock of them. So wise.
This episode is brought to you by Mint Mobile. No more overpriced phone plans necessary. Big monthly bills, unexpected overages, expensive, and outdated.
Or you could stay outdated. Vintage is in.
My old phone has the perfect patina of Cheetos dust and teenage stank.
Okay, I have a better option. Mint Mobile, for a limited time, they have wireless plans that include unlimited talk, text, and data for just $15 a month. Upgrade your plan today at Mint Mobile. For limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer, go to mintmobile.com/distractible. That's mintmobile.com/distractible. mintmobile.com/distractible.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential?
You're talking about the potential.
The potential. You thought to yourself, oh, a little elbow grease, some fresh installs, a little bit of love. You could transform that body full of rust into a baby that's all your own.
Cars, right?
Yeah.
It wouldn't take much to transform my ride.
Your ride's more like Schrodinger's ride. If you don't think about it, it both does and does not exist.
It is possible.
But on eBay Motors, anything is possible. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you can make sure your ride stays running smoothly. They got brake kits, LED headlights, exhaust kits, turbochargers, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
With eBay Guaranteed Fit, they're guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. That's ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, so not raising my opinion of humanity, maybe giving me hope for Earth. Maybe humans will kill ourselves off soon enough that the kangaroo society will have a chance to flourish before the heat death of, I don't know, our solar system. I don't know, the sun.
We will be What's the first species expand? To bring about our own extinction event. It's going to be great.
Oh, wait. So I didn't... What did... Huh?
I think Wade just said we're going to be the first species to create our own extinction event.
Oh, my God. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Humanity can go one of two ways. Like, we'll kill ourselves long before anything else kills us. And that includes, like, us, you know, changing environments that we can no longer live in and whatnot. But also just, like, we have the capability to do it in more than one way, which is terrifying. To be able to do it in one way is scary, but to be able to do it in so many different ways is even scary.
Here's how it's going to happen. I'm going to predict the end.
All right. I asked for this in a previous podcast episode and you had I'm listening, Wade.
All right, so we all think it's gonna be like global warming or overpopulation. No, here's what's gonna be. Our exploration of space is going to lead us to have some kind of ego and overconfidence, and our solution to global warming and everything else is gonna be, well, what if we just moved the Earth a little bit further away from the sun, and we're gonna find a way to tether the Earth to different rockets, and they're gonna start to pull us away from the sun a little bit, and then we're just gonna keep going, and we're gonna go past Pluto and Jupiter in that order, because that's how planets work, shut up, and we'll all die.
All right, that's great and interesting. Would have loved to have that in the previous podcast episode.
Well, you're good to know.
Thanks.
Can I probe this a little?
Probe me, Daddy.
Why, at any point in the presumably years, decades, centuries that this adjustment might take place over, why don't we turn off the jets or disconnect them or something?
Foresight. You kind of lose that over time.
Yeah, I guess.
I believe you.
All right, but back on the topic of, like, humans being terrible. Are you looking, are you actually looking for us to convince you against the idea that humans are terrible?
I mean, I'm not optimistic that you can change my opinion.
Yeah.
But I would love it if you could.
But I just want to know, like, for the winning of this episode, is it essential that we change your mind? Is that what the basis of the winner is going to be?
That's an aspect of it.
Okay, it's an aspect.
You will get points. You will get substantial points if you do change my opinion.
Okay.
But there are other ways to get points.
All right.
That I have clearly laid out and will not tell you.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Well, if I'm going to look at humanity optimistically, I would say we are in a rough transition period right now, because the adjustment of humanity is moving from smaller groups or countries and whatever have you to a major globalization, right? Like we're adjusting to being able to talk to people across the planet at any given moment, not just like hearing about them in a school, like, oh, there's this country called Korea, blah, 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 you know, so on and so forth. We can actually just literally log online, interact with people from Korea. We can fly a plane over, we can, you know, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a big adjustment. I think people and obviously mindsets are not easily changed immediately, but I think there is a huge wave of adaptation. We've seen a lot of changes in the last couple of years, right? Where bad people in different companies have been called out for doing bad things, sexism, racism, so on and so forth. That is getting cleaned up a bit. It's really negative and unnerving to see how many bad people there have been and what they've gotten away with. But I think that for younger minds, seeing that kind of negativity called out and actually held accountable is good. It's a change. It's something that we haven't seen. We kind of always had there's this mindset of like, whatever, good people finish, nice guys finish last, and the evil will persevere because no one's going to do it. Like, who's going to stop them? But that's not staying true anymore. People that fuck up are being called out for it, and stuff's actually adapting to it. And I think that even though the overall headlines, there's a lot of negativity that we focus on, I do think that's a relatively small aspect of humanity itself. There are a lot of good things that come out of it. Not to toot our horns, but a little bit of a toot. Content creators, there's a lot of great content creators out there, not just for entertainment purposes, but the amount of charities that have been highlighted, the amount of people that have been going through a tough time and have found content creators to be an outlet. I mean, I have used it as an outlet to help like deal with stress or stressful times. There are days where I don't have motivation to do anything. And it's like, man, what am I gonna do just to get through today? I don't feel like playing a game. I don't feel like talking to anybody. I don't feel like doing a thing. And I'll find something to watch, someone to watch that either just gives me a distraction or makes me laugh, so on and so forth. I think there are so many positive changes and innovations coming in science and medicine, so on and so forth, that we can probably figure this whole thing out if we stay on course and the few bad apples out there don't overwhelm the amount of positive waves coming through. And that's just the stuff off the top of my head. This is without doing any real research into it. This is just me looking at things from a realistic standpoint, because I don't consider myself optimistic or pessimistic. I consider myself pretty real in how I approach things and think about things. And I too get caught into the dwelling of seeing the negativity of humanity. I've got a lot of people in that I've grown up around and know that really make it hard to be optimistic in humanity. But from a realistic perspective, I think it's relatively balanced. However, I think there's a lot more good than bad. It's just bad gets the headlines. Sensationalism gets the headlines. What do people want to click on? The link where it's like 35th person today adopts puppy? It's a great story to hear about, you know, the occasional heartwarming story about that. It's like, okay, but this is the 35th one that happened today. Or one guy, I don't know, eats own foot, then shits out full skeleton of velociraptor. And it's like, what a fucking idiot. That's the story that we're going to read about. And it's those stupid failures or criminals or murders. Those are the sensational things we end up seeing about. And I think that affects our mindset and puts us into the perspective of humanity sucks. Mm-hmm. Because we ignore all of the good, because that's just another common thing. It's not worth the headline.
That was very large scale.
I'm talking about Bob the neighbor or like Ralph the clerk. Like, you want a specific person?
Okay, listen. You want to know what jades me? I don't really put a lot of value into like news headlines. I read news sources that I find to be accurate to like keep up with things that are happening. I think I'm above it, but I'm sure I'm not. Things affect me, and I'm sure that my, like you're talking about, my perception is skewed by what people focus on in order to drive clicks and views and stuff. But what really, really, really jades me is in the everyday world, if I go on a trip to the grocery store, in a 2-hour trip where I'm driving to the grocery store, grocery shop, and get home, I will see people cut each other off dangerously on the roads in cars. I will see people ignore each other, do little rude slights. I will see all this stuff where it's like, people aren't being evil. They're just being rude. They're clearly...
It's the same thing, though, is what I just said, but a smaller scale.
I'm not to my point yet.
Okay.
I'm all not right. Done.
All right.
People are being rude. I see all this, right? And I think to myself, like, but I try and be a nice person. Like, I do my best. I can't control what other people do. It affects my opinion of them, maybe, if I know who they are personally. But I try and be a nice person. But I do that same shit. No matter how hard I try, no matter how much I look at a situation and I'm like, oh, I would have done it differently. Mm. I'm a much more empathetic person. I would never do that. Yeah, I have and would. I cut people off all the time when I'm driving, probably accidentally or unknowingly, because it's, you know, not affecting me. I just really needed to make that exit on the highway or whatever. I probably, you know, do things in public where I push past someone and without thinking, and that person's like, "Wow, rude. What the hell? We're all going to the same place, buddy." I am those people. I don't know if everyone thinks this, but what jades me is I feel like I look around and I'm like, God, people can be so mean and petty and rude and small-minded. And even worse, people can be so bigoted and hateful towards each other. But I'm not like that. But I am. I don't think I'm like a bigot or a closet, you know, like racist or something. I really do try to be a good person. But all that stuff that I see in humanity that makes me like question people and feel bad about us as a society, we all do all that same shit. Everyone likes to think they're the hero of their own story. And I think to some people, you probably are the hero. To yourself, depending on how self-interested and aware you are, I'm sure you're the hero of your story. You're the protagonist in every situation. But in everyone else's story, I'm definitely the antagonist. I've been the asshole. I've been the rude idiot who's being ignorant or displaying how much I don't care about them. Everyone is like that. Mm. If even I'm like that and I try and be a good person, everyone is like that. That's what jades me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Am I a bad person?
No.
I don't think I'm like a bad person, you know, in the deep, like big state, but like I'm a bad person. I'm an asshole. Everyday life. I do stuff all the time.
You're right. This whole podcast just us to try to help you love yourself, Bob?
Maybe.
Yeah, I tried to help with humanity and you're like, no, I suck.
Is this to try to tell you how good of a person you are?
I mean, that might be worth points. I'm not promising anything, but...
Because you are. You're such a good person. You're such a good person. You're such a good person. Oh, who's a good person? Bob is. Bob's a good person. You're a good person. Oh, yes, you are. You're the best. You're the best person. You're so good. How's that make you feel?
Do you feel better, Bob?
You feel better, Bob?
No, I don't like that at all.
Oh. Well, you must be a bad person. That's a bad Bob. That's a bad person. You're bad. You're bad. You're so bad. Is that better?
Kinda. That at least feels more accurate.
Okay. All right. We'll see. Well, I don't know what you want then.
I guess I'm curious how you feel about that.
About me in general, you know,
I mean, so we talked about it on the macro, right? So I'm looking at the micro scale. Uh-huh. On a daily basis. That's how I feel. I question my own motives. Am I selfish? Am I good? Am I bad? Do you guys do that? Am I insane?
I mean, I do, but mine comes down to internally, I am very selfish, but I think we all are. I think that the difference comes in actions. I think every decision I want to make, the first thing I always think of is me. What do I want? What do I want to eat? What do I want to do? What do, me. But my decision-making contradicts that a lot. Sometimes what I want to do is X, but I'm like, well, I've not talked to this person in a while, so I'll do Y today, hang out with them. I know they want to do this and make their day feel better. They've been going through a rough time. Or I really got to make that phone call. I can only get health insurance renewed, you know, between this time and this time. So I guess I might as well do this today, make sure Molly and I are covered in case something goes on. There's always the me aspect, and then there's the overcoming that selfish inclination to do either what I need to do or do what I think is right, or, you know, I don't want to let this person in. I've been driving on the highway. I've been waiting in this lane going 60 miles in a 65 for the past 2 minutes. I don't want this person getting in front of me. They should have gotten in when they could. But I'll let him in anyway, because, you know, if that was me, I'd want someone to let me in. So, all right, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
And the inclination, the thought is usually selfish or self-serving at the very least. I can be bitter and petty and stuff. But in action, I generally think I do the right thing. I mean, sure, there are times where I have to, like, I'm like, oh, fuck, I forgot to get over. I need to go. Oh, sorry, person. Sorry. Got to get in front of you. Whoops. My bad.
Mm-hmm. I think these are like such like too small scale. They're such innocuous things because all those can come down to just an accident. I think the real test is like you have, imagine you're in a room and you don't know the other two people in there. You're in the room with, there's three people in the room, you included. There's a total of three. There's two and plus one. You are the one, they're the two.
Got it.
So let me get this correct. There's three people.
Yeah, there's three people in the room.
Not one.
Not one.
Not two.
Not two.
But three.
You are one of those three.
Four is much too many.
Four is not in the room.
The correct number we shall count to will be three. Got it.
So you don't know these other two. You don't know how you got there. There's one guy that gives you a gun and tells you to shoot the other person or he will shoot you. Now, like, that's an interesting dilemma because, like, oh, do you shoot the person who gave you the gun and try to rescue it? Like, do you know who the person is? Now, what if he offers you $1 million to shoot that other person that you don't know? Like, would that change your opinion? Like, these are the indications of, like, morally good. I think there's even, like, isn't there, like, a morality test? Not just, like, an internet, like, cosmopolitan test, but there's, like, an actual, like, scientific moral ethic test, or at least there probably should be considering there are, like, morals and ethics classes. But just, like, is that inherently part of the human experience? Is it trained? Is it like taught? Is it from previous experiences? You have certain biases towards certain actions. And if so, if $1 million won't convince you to shoot that person, is there a number that would convince you to shoot that person? Kind of the whole concept of Squid Game spoilers. Maybe scrub that out in case people haven't watched it.
I haven't watched it.
Bleep it all out. Bleep all of it out.
I don't think that's a spoiler. That comes out in like the first episode. I don't know. That's like a premise of the show.
Yeah, yeah. But just like the concept of like, okay, like the idea of being a good or bad person can't be boiled down to, oh, did you put your shopping cart away, you know? Or did you let someone in traffic? It's like, I don't think that's a qualification for a good person because it's not a severe enough test, right? You got to get down to the nitty gritty. You got to break people down.
Well, I think it's more of an additive. I think doing a lot of small good things adds up over time. It's not one individual action. It's doing a lot of good over time. Now, your example, I think, comes down to what is the inherent motivation? If it's survival, then it depends if your survival instinct is higher than like your inclination to not kill. Because in your example, you don't know what the result is. If it's money, sure, you do. If it's like, hey, I'll give you $1 million to shoot this person, you know you're getting money for an act. If it comes down to like, you're aiming a gun at a person to your left, they're aiming a gun at a person to their left and so on and so forth till ultimately there's a gun aimed at you. It's like, and if you're told like, if you don't shoot the person on your left, the person on your right will shoot you. It's almost like the boat scene from the, what was it? Batman, The Dark Knight, where like there's the two boats, the boat of criminals and the boat of civilians. They both have a detonator.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like if you think the other person's going to blow you up, if you don't blow them up, then it's not whether you're a good person. It's whether you think like, one, you're going to survive if you don't pull it. Mm-hmm. And two, is your life worth more than theirs? I guess is the question. There's a whole lot of different questions there.
Yeah. Or do you think that they would actually do that to you? Do you think they're a bad person? It's kind of like the idea. If you're pessimistic about someone else's good intentions and you try to preempt them, does that make you a bad person? If you are a good person and they're a bad person and they blow you up, was your goodness worth anything? You know, because not only did you blow up, you also lost the lives of all the people on your ship. You are inherently responsible, but I mean, they are responsible, obviously, because they did it. But it's just like, could that weigh on your conscience? Like these kinds of like situational things of good or bad are just like impossible to reconcile because it's like a fantastic scenario that none of us will ever be in. The most good or bad that we usually are in is someone like in need of help and am I willing to help them?
See, I think it's two different ways to look at it. I think that there's, can you still be good in an extreme situation versus do you overall just do good from your day-to-day life?
I guess what you're convincing me of is that I framed my question inaccurately because what you're talking about, Mark, is like the absolute extreme case testing someone's morality and like what order are your values in order of you dying, someone else dying, the value of money or whatever reward thing. Like there's an order to your morality. Everyone values things, you know, theoretically differently. If it was a sliding scale with an infinite number of positions, probably no two people have exactly the same sliding settings on their sliders for their life, others' lives, a child versus an adult, whatever. But like I guess my question is more like what I was getting at, and maybe it's too small for me to say humanity is bad, is humanity is selfish. The extent to which you are an asshole in public and the things that I was talking about, the small things, the non life and death, everyday things that happen where people either are or are not considerate. I guess it has to do with selfishness and not in a, like a bad way. Like I think I'm the only one who deserves anything. I am selfish. I must, you know, I deserve it all. But like if you are self-absorbed, self-centered, you're not spending a lot of time and energy concerned about, is this rude? Am I about to do something that's going to inconvenience the people around me? You're concerned about like, I have to do X thing. I'm going to do it in the most efficient way possible for me because it's convenient for me to do it this way right now. And like, I don't even know if that's right or wrong. There are certainly situations where if someone is selfish and, you know, screws someone else over, hurts someone, denies someone access to something they need, medical, like, sure, there are cases where that's, I think, objectively wrong to have done that. But is it wrong, I guess? Am I just judgy? Am I just a very empathetic, like outwardly focused person where I'm concerned about how I'm affecting other people? I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to be rude. Is that any more right or wrong than someone someone who is not concerned if they're rude or inconvenient to other people. They are doing what they need to do because they're a living, breathing person. They have legitimate interests. They're just doing, you know, legally, morally, nothing wrong. They're just doing what they need to do, going about their day. Is that a difference or is that just me? Am I just a judgy Jason over here?
I mean, you see in others what you see in yourself. Kind of like, are you constantly weighing other people's against your own internal struggles? Because I imagine if everyone's thoughts were broadcast loudly out in the open, we would not be able to sustain ourselves like as a society, because like all the weird, like random bullshitty thoughts along with the self-doubt would be broadcast for everyone to hear.
Oh God. Yeah. The horrible thoughts I have about you guys all the time.
Yeah.
Yep. Wait for you to hear those. So this is a big philosophical question to me, because my focus when I was in college in philosophy was morals and ethics. And the frustration that you all will be the same one that I had, is that it depends is the answer. It depends on what moral theory you're applying to any given situation. There are anywhere from like 3 to 8 moral theories that depend on how you look at it. And they all approach things from a different way. Some moral theories, it's all about action and consequence more than intent. So like, if you do bad, even if your intention is good, or you didn't intend to do bad, so you cut somebody off, right? And they freak out and they wreck their car. You didn't hit them, but the result of you getting in front of them was the wreck. Therefore, what you did was bad. What if your intent was good? What if you were trying to race to get someone to the hospital and that happened? You know, it doesn't matter. Well, ultimately, the result was something bad happened. That is one application of moral theory. One moral theory is all about intention. If you're trying to do good, if your intent is good, then regardless of result, good. And then there's more complicated ones, right? There's utilitarianism, which is the greater good. Any decision is morally correct if more good comes out of it than bad. If the other decision results in more bad happening overall, then that is a immoral act. So there's a guy strapped on the train on the left. There's 2 people strapped to the train on the right. The train's about to hit these 2 people. Well, you pull the lever. You kill one person to save the 2 lives. That's utilitarianism, very boiled down to simplicity. There's Kantian ethics. There's so on and so forth. There's so many different ways to look at moral decisions and moral theories and apply them to situations, that good and bad is very dependent on your approach to the situation. Most moral theories would say murder is wrong, you know, not saying like, you know, killing someone that might kill a million other people would be not applying it to that. Just saying like killing in general with intent to murder someone is probably wrong. Most moral theories would agree to that. But other things, it depends. I see a lot of different trolleys appearing. We have trolley images. You guys ever look at the trolley?
This is the trolley dilemmas. Yeah, literally, the trolley problem is the funniest fucking thing I've ever had in my entire goddamn life.
The trolley one's so fascinating because there's another implication. It's killing versus letting die, which comes down to, actually, that's a lot more like euthanasia and stuff. Like some of that spins off of the trolley dilemma, killing versus letting die.
Mm.
If you actively kill someone, is it worse than letting them die? And there's examples of things where it's like, oh, letting them die is wrong because it results in more suffering versus, no, killing is wrong because you're actively taking a life, so on and so forth. It's very interesting. But let's try to simplify this really quickly, Bob. I know I'm not doing a good job of explaining any of these moral theories, but it really just depends on how what your approach is and what you prioritize, because no moral theory is, I don't think, fully accepted more than another. They all end up being situational. And a lot of law is based on morals, but law is different than morals and ethics. It has to be. But whether you're good or bad depends on your approach, what you did, and whether you justify the results, the intent, so on and so forth. And it's just such a complicated question, and I cannot give you the answer you want. I am sorry.
What were you saying about the trolley, Mark?
Yeah, yeah, man.
I'm not disinterested in what you said, Wade. I was just curious why Mark thought it was funny to kill people.
No. It's hilarious. The trolley problem meme. Have you never explored trolley problem memes?
I haven't, actually.
I mean, I've seen like trolley problem political cartoons, but I haven't gone down it in a meme sense.
I've not seen the meme.
You've never seen like trolley problem memes? Like the one I just posted there. Like there's nothing you do to save the people. However, the lever you stand next to controls the music playing from the boombox attached to the trolley. If you pull it to your left, it plays All Star by Smash Mouth, but if you pull it to your right, it plays any random anime song. You can only pull it once, and if you don't pull it, it defaults to All Star. You cannot kill yourself. Like that's the trolley problem. Or like the quantum trolley problem. If you do not pull the lever, the train will stray on track C. If you pull the lever, the train will either be on A or B. Until you observe the train, you will not know the effect of pulling the lever, and thus is it said to be in a superposition. Mickey's Dick Smasher.
What?
Wasn't it like, is it like Goofy's vagina stretcher? I don't remember.
Oh my God, what the hell is happening?
Two roller coasters that collide into each other going down hills. A guy or girl stands here and gets their dick smashed between the two roller coasters. Okay.
I think it was like Donald's vagina stretcher. It's like the opposite of Mickey's dick smasher. You have two trains that are like magnetically launched opposite directions and then just like...
Please don't post the image of that one.
I can't find
it. Mark, what if you made me Google?
I don't know, man. I don't know. What are you talking about?
What's happening in here?
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I just Googled vagina smash, and honestly, the images are not what I expected. There's no Donald.
There's no Donald.
There's no Donald in any of these.
Anywhere in here. I was chilling by my friend and find Donald in here. This is just a vagina.
There's some very happy guys here, but no Donald.
Yeah, no. I just... Wait, I got another trolley problem. Hedonist trolley problem. The track is headed towards B. If you pull the lever, it will switch to A, but it won't do the totally sick loop-de-loop. Yeah, no. I don't know who's hijacking it for stupid economy or political memes. Like, that's not the point. It's just like... God, I love it.
This episode is brought to you by Coca-Cola. New Coca-Cola Spiced. It's not spicy, but it does have unexpected, extraordinary tastes. For some people, it's like...
Like falling on a meteor, fighting a bear just to land safely on the ocean on your own private island with a new best friend?
It's like when you're in that hotel in Las Vegas and the gondola singer is rowing you around the canals, and for that beautiful moment you forget you're not actually in Venice.
It's like running into a hurricane, but then you find yourself in the eye of the storm and you're actually like a really pretty field, and like the wind is lightly blowing and there's like leaves and the smell of fall.
Or it's like... But you know, I had something and it wasn't that, and you really threw me off my groove.
It's like hearing your friend come up with his own idea, but then realizing that your idea is so much better, you have to say it right now.
Coca-Cola Spiced, it's bursting with refreshing notes from raspberry and spice flavors. It's an uplifting taste experience unlike any other. Try all new Coca-Cola Spiced and Coca-Cola Spice Zero Sugar today and find out. Copyright 2024, The Coca-Cola Company.
This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Guys, I found another subscription. It's not even one. They keep coming.
What? That's crazy.
But that's okay, because I could use Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money can help you have full control over subscriptions, have a clear view of your expenses.
If there's anything in there that says, like, hey, please cancel this for me, don't press it.
I'm going to go press all of those buttons. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/distractable. That's rocketmoney.com/distractable. rocketmoney.com/distractable. You should get that, Mark. It's probably important.
Oh, no way.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Anyway, I feel like you explained how a person might justify whatever they believe, but I don't know if that actually changed my mind at all. Wait.
Well, yeah, I don't know that I can.
I think I represent humanity, and I still think I'm bad.
Well, have you ever considered the idea of maybe you are?
Are you just apathetic, Bob? Is it possible you're not bad? It's just apathy? Do you intentionally cut people off with a thought like, ah, fuck you, I hope you almost crash as I get in front of you? Or is it more just like, oh shit, I need to get over? Or a lack of, I don't know, just situational awareness? I'm not saying you're not paying attention while driving, but like, you know, maybe your immediate thought at that moment isn't negative when you're cutting somebody off.
Or are you traveling through life with a GTA style point score up in the top left corner of your vision and you have to fight the urge to collect as many points as possible? And then when you see a new mother with a pram pushing across the crosswalk, are you just like resisting the temptation for those glorious points?
And are you ignoring good things that you do? Are you simply dwelling on like a few negative things and you're like, overall, therefore that makes me bad because these situations happened and I did X, whereas you're ignoring a lot of the things where it's like X was a selfish decision, but you actually did Y?
I guess my conclusion about it would be I have good intentions. Like, there is 0% of the time where I'm trying to be an a-hole, but even with that as my motivator, I know there have been situations where, regardless of what I meant, what I did in someone else's, you know, experience, what I did to them gave them the visceral reaction of, oh, look at this asshole. Damn it. Look at this guy. And like, to me, I was just like, ooh, whoops, gotta do whatever, gotta get over. I'm late. It was pure intentions. I don't think I'm a bad person at heart, but I guess I just, what's that quote? Everybody you meet is fighting a battle that you have no knowledge of which you have no knowledge. I don't know, something like that. Like, you can never know the context of another person. And I guess I just see so many people being rude and experience myself so many times. I'll just, something will happen and in my head I'm like, oh, why is that so rude? Like, it probably wasn't, right? It probably was someone who has had the same motivation as me of like, oh, I'm late, I'm in a hurry, I really need this, I'm not trying to be rude, I just, you know, my child is sick, whatever. But I always think it's negative. And I think everyone else always thinks it's negative. Like, everyone, if you hear someone come home from work and they tell a story about like, oh, this guy came in, it's never like, yeah, he was so crazy, he was in a rush, he was like asking us if we could hurry up, and like, I just wonder what's going on with him, you know, like, why is he so stressed out, I hope he's okay. Everyone is always like, this guy came in and he would not leave me alone, he was rushing me, he's like, it's like he doesn't understand that it takes time to do my job, that there are other customers. Like, if everyone assumes the worst, everyone just thinks everyone's terrible, everyone thinks I'm terrible that I run into, and I do the same thing. I feel like there's a negative preconception about everything that you experience in public when there's no logical reason for that.
Well, I think there might be. I think intrinsically things that go right don't stick with us as much because there's nothing to gain from that. Whereas in the past, you know, survival instincts, it's like something goes wrong or something is bad and it does stick out. So we learn something from it. We learn to either avoid that person or that creature or that situation or so on and so forth. And it's just like that aspect of us hasn't evolved and changed. And so the negative sticks out to us and it sucks that it does. But you know, I mean, that's again why sensational headlines and stuff stick out. It's why I think back to working retail and a lot of the things I remember are the negative things. I have to like think about it. I'll be like, oh man, that was a really fun night. But the first couple things I think of were that time that that guy threatened me with a shotgun, or that time that that kid threw all of the shit on the floor. We had to clean it up, or the time I had to clean up a horrible bloody mess in one of the bathrooms. Like, a lot of the negative moments stand out to me. And I don't think that's because I'm bad or, you know, this and that was bad. I think that just negativity for some reason jumps out in our minds. And I think it's an instinctual thing that's hard to,
you know,
combat.
I've got an example that I think might convince you, Bob, yeah, of just by comparison of what is good and bad. Humans are bad, but I posit that monkeys are worse.
Okay.
I went to the zoo once and I was there with, you know, some friends, and we were looking at the chimpanzees, and we were watching them and they were just like in their exhibit and they were having a good time. And then this one chimp came over to the window, looked us dead in the eye, kind of looked us up and down, left to right at each of us, reached down behind itself towards its buttocks, shot out a turd, brought it right up to its lip and popped that bad boy right in. And it made us watch. And I know it's probably happened, but I've never encountered that with a human. So in my personal experience, I think that humans can't be that bad because I haven't seen that. I'm not saying it hasn't happened, but there's worse. There's probably much worse. So by the transitive property, humanity can't be that bad. And therefore you, Bob, if you haven't put shit in your mouth in front of someone else and made them watch, I'd say you're doing all right.
Taking Mark's weird approach here, looking at a statistic, humans are responsible for 437,000 human deaths a year, but there is something worse than humans. It's not monkeys. It's mosquitoes. 750,000 deaths a year.
Oh, shit.
So I guess monkeys for Mark, mosquitoes for statistics.
Dude, I hate mosquitoes. Mosquitoes are the worst.
Dude, I know.
They don't do anything good.
Well,
they just spread diseases.
So I guess if we're going to take the humanity sucks, but there's worse out there approach, then mosquitoes and monkeys, there you go. The M&Ms of the world.
The transitive property always wins out. You can always get to the bottom of something with the transitive property.
And you know what you get with humans, monkeys, and mosquitoes?
All right.
Oh, I see. It's because the first letter of the H-M. This, and you would read that as
Yeah, it made me think of back in the day when we did the that creature and spore, the but this is the the start. At least you're not a mosquito, Bob. Feel better about yourself now?
Kinda, I guess.
Or a monkey, I guess.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what I thought was gonna come of this. Got a little more serious than I thought, but I think we've reached a conclusion.
You dropped me into moral theory. Don't take me to moral theory or else I have to.
I think we've reached a natural endpoint. I think that's going to be it for today's discussion. I'm going to pretend to tabulate some points. Will, put a sound in that sounds like I'm tabulating things. And this actually turned into a real squeaker. It started off kind of one-sided, and then Wade...
I know, I was pretty dominant.
Wade really threw down a lot of philosophy stuff that made me think and almost made me not hate myself as much as I do. He didn't, though. And then Mark turned it around, the whole monkey situation. We had the nice discussion. It's a real squeaker. This is a real back-of-the-book point that Wade earned. I think the winner is Wade, because he stole it with the never-before-used point by any of us, actually putting knowledge you gained from education to use. Wade is formally educated in moral theory and philosophy.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Classically trained.
And God damn it if you didn't use some of that probably misremembered knowledge today during the podcast.
Mm-hmm. I basically showed you the index. That's all. I was like, here's the table of contents of philosophy, moral theory. That's all I did.
I have a law degree. I took the foundation of moral and ethics, that sort of thing. So I knew that, but I bet that was interesting to people who may not have heard of those things before. And if you found it interesting, you should look them up.
Moral theory is very, very fascinating.
Moral theory is exhausting, but fascinating. See, and you never get a good answer. There's no such thing as a good answer. Prepare to be dissatisfied.
True.
But it's fascinating. But valiant effort, Mark.
Thank you.
You scored a lot of good points.
Thank you.
I really liked you. Almost had it with the monkeys, but...
Thank you.
Wade reached deep in the rule book, pulled out the old
mosquitoes.
Educational app. Application points.
Yeah, interesting.
So yeah, what do you have to say, Wade? You happy? Happy victor?
Yeah, after today's episode, I think what I have gained from this is pay attention when you're driving. Use your turn signal, leave space, don't be an asshole. And bug spray. Mosquitoes will kill us all.
That's a good point. Mosquitoes are dangerous, man.
And I guess avoid monkeys if those are around you.
They're pretty dangerous too.
Yeah.
Psychologically.
There's a story of, like, I don't want to go into it right now, but there's a story about someone who had a pet monkey that, like, ended up, like, just annihilating their friend, and...
It was an orangutan.
I forget what the monkey's name was. It was like a monkey that was, like, famous. I cannot remember all the details, but this monkey was, like, famous and was, like, a town icon, was in commercials and stuff, and then, like, one day just, like, annihilated someone's face and stuff, had to be put down. It's a really sad story. Makes me agree with Mark.
Next time on Distractable, that monkey Wade can't remember about. Listeners, thank you so much for listening to this entire episode. I hope we didn't scare you away from ever listening again. I'm sorry I brought up, I don't know, whatever I brought up, morals. That's my bad. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. Make sure you check the little plus. You've added it to your whatever, on whatever platform you listen. It'll tell you every week when there's a new one. It's always on Monday. You could remember, but you don't even have to. You can find Mark at Markiplier on, you know, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch. You could find Wade.
Travis. The monkey's name was Travis.
At Travis's house, I guess. I don't know.
That's just a sad story. Don't look it up. It's a sad story.
He's on Twitch, Minion777, LordMinion777 elsewhere. That's the end. Thanks for indulging me. I still hate myself. Podcast out.
I love me.